Father, we thank you for your love and your kindness to us, Lord. It's amazing. It's precious. It's sweet. The grace that you give us, Lord, is so abounding. So abounding. And obviously we're so undeserving, and yet you love us as we are. I thank you for that, Lord, and I ask you to help us get a little, just a little bit of understanding today from this word. Please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't know if I'm ready for this, but we're going to have a shot anyway. Got a little revelation a little while ago, and a heap of yous have heard it already, actually. All the youth, a few of the guys that went to the school, the apostolic school, they heard this, and I just felt the Lord sort of wanted me to just tell you what he told me. And it may help. I hope it does. I hope it does. I hope it does help. It helped me understand myself. It might help you understand yourself a little bit too. This message is entitled Pride. And the first thing that, when I wrote that down, the first thing that came to my mind, you're not going to believe this, was pride comes before a fall. Everybody heard that saying, pride comes before? And the second thing that came to my mind is, I was walking down the road at Glendale a little while ago, the steep hill, and this kid was out, next door neighbour up the hill, was out in his push bike. He had just got a new bike. He was just learning to ride. His mum was out there with him. And as I come up over the hill, I looked down, I saw him, and he was standing at the top, probably a bit further down. And he had this look on his face, and I could tell, as you sometimes can tell, that he was just thinking, I'm good. You know how you can sort of see that on a kid's face? I got me new bike, and I'm learning to ride. You know what happened, don't you? Because I'm standing, and this guy's watching me. And he had this smile all across his face. He took off down that hill. Oh, not a pretty end. Skin off. Got up crying and wailing. It wasn't nice. It wasn't nice. And I thought to myself, yes, it's true. Pride does come before a fall. Put your hand up if you've experienced it. Sad, isn't it? Sad but true. Poor little guy. An early learnt lesson. Mum was so kind to him. What is pride? Pride is thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought. Is that right? More highly of oneself. Or probably higher than other people would probably be a better way of putting it. Higher than other people. Thinking more highly of ourselves than we think of others. How should we think of ourselves? Well, we shouldn't think of ourselves more lowly. Should we? Low self-worth. Now I'm coming to all this in a second. You've heard all this message before one way or another, but you're going to get it again. It's obvious how we should think of ourselves. We should think of ourselves in the light of how God thinks of us or how God sees us. That's how we should think of ourselves. That is so obvious. Yeah, it's so hard to do. So God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. Pours out his love over us. Pours out his grace. He just adores us. All of us. He doesn't single anyone out and say, well, this one here is my favourite. I like this one more. I like this one a little bit more. No, he doesn't do that. Just like you and I, well, parents at least, with our kids, if we got more than one, We don't single one out. I don't think Kiana's better than Jared or Beth's better than Kiana. I just don't think like that. You don't, do you? Nobody thinks like that? They're all my favourites. They're all my best. I love them all. Sometimes I think, like, Beth was a little bit smarter than Jared at school. Not true. In some things. Jared can act the fool a lot better than the other pair. He is a lot of fun to be around from time to time. Kiana, she's just a wild thing. We love her. They're all different. They've all got, you could say one's better, but they're just different, aren't they? They're just kids. Your kids, you find one's different to the other one. But it doesn't mean you love this one more than you love. It's a difference. It's not a love. My love is equal and the same for each one of them. Just the same as God. Love is equal and the same. But we're all different. All right, this is going to be a short message. Please, Jesus. This is what I felt the Lord told me a few weeks back. Once again, John asked me to share my testimony at the apostolic school. He said, come along and share your testimony and tell them how miserable you were and how God came into your life. Tell them how you were independent, had pride, cynicism, because of your low self-worth. He said, come along and tell them, explain how that all worked, and just show them what's going on. And once again, I did. And as I went, as I was driving to this, the Lord pointed something out to me. I believe he pointed something out to me. He showed me something about myself. What I could never, ever understand about this testimony, excuse my blue bits, what I could never understand about my testimony is how two things could work simultaneously in my life and be exact opposites. In that, growing up, I had this low self-esteem, low self-worth, right? I had this low feeling. And yet John comes along and says, you're full of pride. You've got this huge... Now, if you consider this, what is low self-esteem? Thinking too lowly of yourself. Is that right? What's pride? Thinking too highly of yourself. How does that work? I'm thinking too lowly of myself and I'm thinking too highly of myself all at the same time. Does this make sense? Like, and you all understand it, so I can sit down. Perfect, good. Well, I didn't, so you're going to cop it anyway. This is what I believe the Lord showed me and how he explained it to me. He said, you should think of yourself as I think of you. And there's the level. Think of a seesaw. Right now, picture in your minds a seesaw. Everybody got a seesaw in their head? Balanced, level, straight, balanced. Balanced is the word I'm looking for here. Proper balanced view of oneself. There it is. But no, I didn't think of myself like that. I thought of myself down here. Low, less, not quite up to the standard, whatever you like. And then I thought of myself up here, prideful, a bit independent, or a lot independent, out by myself, get my own. And this is what the Lord showed me. If you're not like this, if you're not like this, right, if you're not balanced like this, you have to be like that. You have no choice. If you've got pride, you'll have low self-esteem. Now, this works, but this could work a little differently. If you've got low self-esteem on the one hand, If you have that, and you don't have pride, do you know what you got? A heck of a mess, actually. You'll probably have depression. You'll feel down. You may even feel suicidal, defeated, sad, anxiety, fears, all sorts of things running through. All emotion, all of those miserable emotions, basically. If you don't have the pride to balance it out, you'll feel down here, you'll feel as low as low. So how are you going to balance it? You're going to balance it by putting in a piece of pride. And that's the only way it will actually balance out for you until you get to there. I said to myself, God, is this right? Am I thinking of this correctly? Are you showing me that every person that has pride has low self-esteem? Is that correct? And I'm feeling the Lord is saying that exact thing to me. If you've got pride, you've got low self-worth. If you've got low self-worth, you've got pride. Unless, of course, you're depressed, low, you let it all go. I'll tell a story in a minute on what I mean by that. on the desperate side of that. I know this is sounding a little bit negative. I'm hoping you grasp something positive from it. Grasp something positive out of it. Maybe I should tell the story. Yes. There's this guy. This is a miserable story too, but it shows the point dramatically. There's this guy in the UK recently who did some terrible things. He was a very, very wealthy, wealthy man. Very wealthy guy. Beautiful home, beautiful everything. And he lost everything. It just went bang, one hit. Lost the lot. Lost everything. And the Lord, as I was driving along, the Lord said, look at this guy. This is exactly what happened to him. He said, he was like that. He had put everything of worth in finances, houses, money, 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 money. That's where his pride was. That's where his self-assurance was. That's where he lived, up here. But he also had this. He had low self-worth, but he couldn't see it. You can't see it because it's covered in pride. You can't see it because it's covered in pride. It's covered over, basically. What happened to him? He lost the lot, lost the pride. You know what he did? He went, dare I say it, he, will I? Yes, I will. He killed his wife, he killed his children, he killed his dog, he killed his cat, his horse, and he burned his house down. Because he went, he slipped. And the Lord said, basically the Lord was saying, that's what happens. When you sit in a place of pride, you will always fall down to the place of low self-worth. The one thing that I couldn't understand, if that was true, was the devil, was Satan. I couldn't understand how that worked for him. He doesn't appear to have any low self-worth. Does he? He doesn't appear to have anything in him that is of a low self. He just appears like he has pride. And that's it. And I asked the Lord. And I believe this is what the Lord said to me. I believe he said that Satan looked at God and measured himself. He looked at God and he measured himself. And he found himself wanting. I find that a funny saying. He found himself wanting. He found himself wanting what? He found himself wanting to be God. That's what he found. He found himself wanting to be up there. Wanting to be like God. Wanting to be God, as it were. So consequently, what did he do to himself when he did that? When he measured himself against God, he went whoosh, down into low self-esteem. He measured himself and found himself no good. Are you hearing me? He measured himself and he found himself no good, so he slipped down. But that he would deny that. He would deny that, so he covered it with pride. Immediately covered it with pride and said, I am. Do you get this picture, this low self-worth thing? Now, why have I said all that? Only one reason, and I'm going to finish. And it's the very thing that Satan did. He measured himself against somebody else. And that's, I guess, is my thought to you this morning. Lloyd said something a little bit earlier about how Darren encouraged him. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. All right? I am so far off my notes here. I don't know where I am. And right now I really don't care. When you say, I want to do better, when you say that, I want to do better than them, that is selfish ambition and strife. Let's look up a scripture. James chapter 3, verse 16. Let me read it. I've been on this chapter for so long now, it's driving me mad, but it keeps coming. Chapter 3, verse 16. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. There you find disorder and every evil practice. I've completely lost where I'm going here, but I'll come back to it. When you say to yourself, I'm better, I want to do better, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. When you say, I want to do better than them, that's selfish ambition. What's ambition? It's just, I want to improve, I want to get better, and there is nothing wrong with that. As soon as we take the step into, I want to go better than them. I want to achieve what they've achieved. I want to get over that mark, pass through that mark. As soon as we step into that, we step into selfish ambition, and it's not ambition. Ambition is good, nothing wrong with ambition. As soon as we envy somebody else or something they've done, as soon as we say, Darren, you're great and I want to be as good as you, if not better, we're gone. We've measured ourselves against somebody and we've blown it. Believe me? As soon as I measure myself against John Alley as a preacher, I'm a goner. Or anybody else. As soon as you measure yourself against somebody else, you're a goner. It's not wrong to say, I want to get better. It's not wrong to do that. Oh, I've got so many more scriptures here. Should I go on? Saul. That man's Saul. You look up 1 Samuel 9. 21, it says of Saul this. I find it. Saul answered, Samuel had just spoken to him and said, I'm going to make you the king. And Saul answered, but am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing of me? What did Saul do? What had Saul just done? He had just measured himself and found himself wanting. Wanting to be there. And he just destroyed himself in the process. It goes on to say later, in chapter 15, verse 17, Samuel said, after Saul had made some very large errors, some very large mistakes, and didn't do what God had asked him to do, Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, although you were once small in your own eyes, and he was. He had considered himself lowly. What did he cover it with? What did he cover his lowliness with? He covered it with pride and it ended up killing him. He covered it over with pride. Actually, the whole of Israel did the same thing. What did they say? Are we but grasshoppers when they tried to enter the land? Are we not grasshoppers against these people? They measured themselves against somebody or something else. Found themselves wanting. Who else? Absalom, rejected by his father, got the low self-worth, the low self-esteem. What did he do? He found himself wanting. Wanting to be what? Wanting to be the king. He was full of pride and he found himself wanting, covered it over. What's another one? I'll look this one up. Luke 9:46. Luke 9:46. Here it is. It's headed, who will be the greatest? As soon as you hear that, you think, oh, there's a problem here. This is all the disciples. And it starts with this. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. And you think, the first thing you think after that message, you think, there's obviously a little problem here with the thinking inside of all of these guys' hearts. Who is going to be the greatest? What have they done? They have measured themselves up and said, who's going to be the best of us? A very bad mistake when you say that to Jesus. Jesus knew their thoughts, took a little child, had him stand beside him. Then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is the least among you all is the greatest. My point is, do not measure yourself against anybody. Peter did the same in Galatians. He measured himself against the Jews, against the circumcised ones. He didn't measure up, so he went and did what they did. So he would measure up. Don't measure yourself against anybody. It is a disaster. I think I'll leave it. There's a little bit more there, but I think I'm going to give it a miss. Measuring yourself is like a trip of pride. It's like a trip of pride. And there's only one way to overcome it. Only one way to overcome it is repentance. How do you test if you got pride? I'll just say this to finish. How do you test to see if you got pride? asked yourself this question: do I inquire of the Lord when I'm going to do something? Do I inquire of the Lord when I'm going to do something? If we don't inquire of the Lord, if we don't pray, we don't humble ourselves. What it means is we think we know better than God. If you are not, and if I am not, inquiring of the Lord regard our life all the time, we have got to deal with the pride of ourself, of our own life. And consequently, if you've got that, you've got low self-esteem to go along with it. If you follow my meaning. Dealing with the pride, if we don't pray, if we don't inquire, we have never humbled ourselves, we have never put our place, God, in his rightful place. If we don't pray the amount we should pray. And dare I say it? No, I won't say it. That will be harsh. Consider your prayer life. Consider your prayer life. Consider if you inquire of God. Or consider if you make your own decisions about what you do. That's pure pride. And God wants it out of our lives. Now I'm done. How do you get rid of it? All right, I'm not quite done. How do you get rid of it? Ephesians 3:14. I'll read this so we know what we should do to sort this out. Ephesians 3:14. It says this. For this reason I kneel, Paul speaking, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom this whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Listen to this. This is the crux. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ. We must get to a place of knowing and understanding the love of Christ so that we are humbled. So that we are humbled. Got to get to that place of knowing how much Christ loves us and cares about us. What will that do? It will stop low self-worth, and it will get rid of pride all at the same time. Double whammy, bang. But we have to do it. It takes repentance. It takes prayer. It takes time. Father, I ask you to help us to never, ever measure ourselves against anybody else. Lord, help us, I pray, to understand selfish ambition and pride. Help us, Lord, to balance our life out with your word, understanding how much you delight in us and care about us. Lord, help us walk in your truth. The truth, the things that you say about us, help us walk in that love so that we will be balanced. Balanced in our attitudes. Humble in our approach. Lord, help us. Father, I pray that independence will be broken in our hearts. Humility will take over our lives. And we will walk, Lord, in grace, in your grace. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, that's it. Have a think about it. I hope you got something from it. I hope you understand something from it. Bless you. Oh, before I go, here is a testimony from Samantha and Darren. It says this: David, little David, has been nearly fully pain-free for about 2 weeks now. Praise God. That's great. Nearly fully pain-free. Why don't we stand together, because I forgot to do something early, and we finish with two prayers. Finish with prayer for David, because he's not fully done yet. We need to pray a little bit more. And May Larson is extremely sick. Extremely sick, is very sick. And she's lovely, isn't she? And we want to ask God to help her. So why don't we stand together and we ask the Lord to pour out His Spirit on these folks and heal their bodies. Continue to heal their bodies and take the pain. May is all congested and just really, really, really unwell. Been unwell for a while. So let's start with David. Let's ask the Lord to continue to heal his body. Father, right now, Lord, we bring David before you, Lord, and we ask your hand upon him to heal his body. Completely restore him. Bring him to full health, Lord. Lord, we ask that pain would completely go, be completely gone, Lord, and his body would be brought to wholeness, Lord God, by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, fall on him right now. Restore him, heal him, bless him, I pray, Lord, and this family, Lord. We thank you for breakthrough in their lives today, Lord God. We thank you for the breakthrough of health and well-being and prosperity in Jesus' name. We bless you. Father, we thank you for May right now, Lord, and we ask your hand upon May. Lord, we ask you to release your power into her body. She's been unwell, Lord. We ask your healing power. Now release her, Lord. Heal her lungs, her body, Lord. Raise her up, Lord. Heal her respiratory, Lord God. Every part of the system, Lord God. Heal it right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we cut off the schemes of the enemy to bring her down right now in Jesus' name. Restore her, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.